If you're listening to this podcast, chances are you have the mindset of an entrepreneur, even if you haven't yet started a business. The problem with being an entrepreneur is that you have to wear so many hats. It's not just about creating great products or services. Finding the right tool that not only helps you out but simplifies everything can be a real game changer. For millions of businesses, that tool is Shopify. With hundreds of ready-to-use templates, Shopify can help you build a beautiful online store to match your brand's unique style. Shopify can also accelerate your content creation. They're packed with helpful AI tools that write product descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance your product photography. Turn your big business idea into with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/inspirational. Go to shopify.com/inspirational. shopify.com/inspirational. Welcome to the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's reading was edited and adapted from The Palace of Mirrors and Other Essays by Joseph Frank Thompson, published in 1911. The world is full of looking glasses in which we behold our own reflection. Any given mirror may be cracked or otherwise defective, so that the image fails to do us justice, but more or less, the thing reflected is the thing that is. The material world abounds in such mirrors. The summer rain is one thing to the farmer, whose heart glows with satisfaction at the thought of the crops that are being nourished, and quite another to the farmer's children, who grumble their resentment toward the chores that interfere with their holiday. The falling snow does not look the same to the boys and girls who expect to go sledding, as it does to the homeless who do not know where they may find shelter for the night. To the thirsty traveler, the oasis in the desert, with its cluster of tiny palms and its lukewarm spring, seems fairer than the grandest of groves and the coolest of fountains do to the one who has no need of shade and drink. We have all observed how easily children obtain enjoyment from the most trivial circumstance when they are already in a happy mood, and how fruitless our own best efforts to entertain them are when they do not wish to be entertained. It is the same with ourselves. We get from our surroundings the reflection of our mood. If it is one of discontent and fretfulness, the weather will always be too warm or too cold, and all the beauty of the sky and landscape will be as if it were not so. On the other hand, if our hearts are filled with hope and cheerfulness, we shall be sensitive to all the delights which nature offers to our senses. We shall be conscious of the grandeur of forests and mountains, the peacefulness of the meadows, the fairness and fragrance of flowers, and the songs of birds and brooks. While the trifling discomforts of which we would otherwise complain will be only topics for jokes and laughter. Rainbows and sunsets have no charm for grazing sheep and oxen. There is no awe and majesty in the snow-clad height or starry firmament for minds that lack the sense of things sublime. Ocean waves chant their anthems in vain to those who have no thoughts and feelings with which they harmonize. However, when the least pretentious of mirrors gives us back a reflection of the glowing cheek, the sparkling eye, and the smiling lips that betoken abundant health, or express the hope and joy and kindness with which the heart is filled, these little things afford us pleasure when by reflection they increase the pleasure we already feel. This is why we love to visit the place where we grew up, and where each familiar scene recalls the boy or girl we used to be. Why old songs move us to smiles or tears, which have their source not in the words or music, but in some past association with them. And the reason that certain flowers are fragrant with memories of our childhood. All these are looking glasses, reflecting what we are or have been. It is true also that we are interested in other people's ideas, chiefly when they make clear by reflection something of value that already exists in our own mind. All satisfying conversation requires a topic of mutual interest. We like to listen to those who express in some measure what we have already thought and felt. The failure of a poem, or essay, or sermon to please us is no proof that it lacks essential worth. The explanation may be that we have had no experiences for which it provides a looking glass. It does not reflect the longings we have felt, the joys we have known, the griefs we have endured, and the truths we have proved. In later years, when the experience described has become our own, we may read the same book, or listen to a similar discourse, and then find it rich in meaning. Henry Ward Beecher, the famous clergyman, was once asked by the church ushers if they should wake up anyone in the congregation whom they found asleep. "No," was the reply. "You are to come up to the pulpit and wake me up." It was a good answer, yet it is probable that many people, if they did not sleep through some of Mr. Beecher's best sermons, listened with little pleasure or profit, because there were so few things in their own lives which could provide a looking glass. Even Jesus was obliged to confess that, for many of those who heard them, his words were as seed that fell by the wayside, since they found nothing in them that seemed worth remembering. In the characters of our associates, we find a reflection of the good or evil qualities which belong to our own. If we are coarse, selfish, and unscrupulous, we shall attribute coarseness, selfishness, and injustice to them. If we are destitute of benevolence, we shall have no faith in their kindness. If our honesty and virtue is a pretense, we shall credit them with an equal hypocrisy. Transient moods in others are awakened by contact with our own disposition, such as when a scowl is answered by a frown, or an ungracious remark provokes a sharp retort, or an injurious deed is repaid by a harmful act. Instead of finding that we create them, that we are the authors of what was resent, we say that we have found our associates rude or unsocial, indifferent or quarrelsome, that they care only for their own comfort and pleasure. Whereas the truth may be that we have merely been looking at our own disposition in a glass, and are dissatisfied with what we have seen. The existence of any excellence within ourselves is our best help to the understanding of it in others. In proportion as our thoughts are pure, our motives honorable, and our impulses generous, such refinement, integrity, and kindness as our neighbors possess become visible to us. We see and appreciate virtues with which we are familiar because they are our own. And not only that, but we create such qualities where once they were wanting, or awaken them where they were dormant. Rude people are made gentle by our courtesy. Unsocial people respond to our cordial speech and manner. And selfish people reflect our generosity. We find purity in truth, honesty in kindness, sympathy and goodwill wherever we go. Because whether they were already there or not, we at least carry them with us and are surrounded by human mirrors that reflect them. And in this, we not only increase our own happiness, but contribute to the goodness of others as well. We may indeed work no miracle of transformation in the character of those whose moods have been the reflection of our own, but something at least, not only of the transient joy but abiding worth as well, has been imparted. From a material mirror an image vanishes and leaves no trace, but the human soul that has at once reflected the moral beauty of another has received what can never be entirely lost. In the attributes of God's character, we behold the reflection of our own. If we are vain and arrogant, we shall think of God as delighted with flattery and caring more for the enforcement of divine authority than the welfare of those over whom it is exercised. If we are wrathful and vindictive, we shall fancy that God is angry and revengeful. But if our disposition is to pity the evildoer while abhorring their deeds, we shall regard God's sovereign justice as the instrument of divine paternal love, believing that it smites to bless and wounds to heal. The belief that God's will would triumph in the destruction or eternal banishment of those who had resisted divine authority was the dream of human hatred. But through human compassion and love emerged the later story of the shepherd's quest and the prodigal's return. The use of the thumbscrew and the rack, and the belief in an endless hell, began to pass away together, and we have discovered something more worthy of reverence in the character of God, with each new excellence added to our human one. Thus it is that the universe is a palace of mirrors, wherein we are surrounded by images of ourselves. We project our hopes and fears, our griefs and gladness, our memories and forebodings into the material world, and see in its varied phenomena the qualities with which our moods have invested them. We find in the thoughts of poets and prophets the lessons that our own experience has taught us. We behold the greatness or littleness, the beauty or deformity, the nobility or baseness of our own souls, in the character of our fellow beings, and the disposition of the deity whom we worship. We get what we give. It is only when our own lives radiate purity and truth, justice and kindness, that they shine back upon us from the lives of our human associates. It is only when our hearts are forgiving, compassionate, and helpful that we can look up to the face of our God in heaven and find it aglow with infinite tenderness and love. There are loyal hearts, there are spirits brave, there are souls that are pure and true. So give to the world the best you have, and the best shall come back to you. give love, into your heart will flow a strength in your utmost need. Have faith, and hearts will show their faith in your word and deed. For life is the mirror of king and slave. 'Tis just what you are and do. So give to the world the best you have, and the best will come back to you.
Get started on your painting project this summer and save big money at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust 5-in-1 Spray Paint lets you choose from 5 unique spray patterns with a twist of the dial, so you can get a professional, corrosion-resistant finish on every project. Save big money on Rust-Oleum Spray Paint now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.